is actually one of the astounding acharyas in our line. How can we do justice to him when likely, for most of us, we cannot even do justice to our own parents? If we cannot even come up to the lowest qualities of your parents, then how can we deal with somebody who is 12 generations ago, like Narottam Thakur Mahasai? The quality of our Gaudiya Vaishnava line is to take a kiran, a ray of light, from their shiksha. And if that impresses our consciousness, chittite kariya aikya, if it enters our consciousness and impresses us, then, as Narottam Thakur Mahasai said, arona kariyo mane ash, I have no other desire to have anything else. The happiness that that kiran, the ray of that light, of that shiksha, sound vibration, should satisfy you more than any other distraction in this world. Because we are distracted in this world by so many things. Therefore, we lose the opportunity. The distraction is offered by the illusory energy. And because she is very chatur, she is smart, she packages it according to our anarthas and according to our ability to swallow it. And therefore, she succeeds in deviating us. And she works like that very smartly with every single one of us, from the top rank to the lowest. Therefore, there's the distinction between an antarmukha and a bahirmukha. The antarmukhas are always trying to improve their sadhana. And the bahirmukhas, they gave up on themselves a long time ago because they surrendered to the distractions given by the illusory energy. Thakur Mahasai, by his bhajans, his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, his prarthana, plumbed the depths of devotional attachment and rendered it in very, very simple Bengali. Out of compassion, Mahasai did that for the very, very common man in Bangladesh now. Bengal, Bangladesh. He packaged it for them. The highest truths in a palatable format, readily understandable. Yet, still very deep. Easy language, extremely deep. The example was given in the book. Bhakti Vikas Maharaj was referring to that itihasa about Vamsidas Babaji Mahasai, who left his body in 1944 in his village, Majidpur, in Bangladesh. And he was traveling back to his village to give up his body slowly in 1943, late. And in Bangladesh, there's a lot of travel is done by boat because of the extensive waterways. So he's on the boat, and the boatman is pushing with the bamboo rod in the mud to move the boat along, likely upstream. And so to pass the time, the boatman was singing one of Narottam's bhajans. And it's more than just a nice tune. Obviously, he was singing it because the raga, the tune was good and pleasing. Manobiramat. The katha is manobiramat. It's very pleasing to the mind. and the heart. That's the nature of the bhajan. And singing is the life of the public as well as the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But the distinction is more than just a tune. There is bhava there. There is mood. But in this case, it's not ordinary bhava. It is paribhavita. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that state, paribhavita bhakti, where he says that it wasn't enough to engage the five karmendriyas, five working senses, the five jnanendriyas, the five knowledge acquiring senses in the service of Krishna, according to your psychophysical nature. That was the beginning of bhakti. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhaktarujate, as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu quotes from Padma Purana, to engage the senses in the service of the master of the senses constitutes bhakti. It's the lowest definition, the simplest definition. More than that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said in his Amulyavani, unfortunately, I did not memorize the Bengali yet, said that more important is to engage the mind and the tongue in the service of Bhagavan while you work, you do any work. And that mood is the mood that will capture Bhagavan's attention. Paribhavita. It will be paribhavita bhakti then, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, transcendental mood. And it's not the dravya, it's not the external item, because that is always going downhill in Kali Yuga, getting worse and worse and worse. Just like I was with Vaishnav yesterday coming back from Maharashtra, Aravadi festival. So we get some yogurt and, you know, you get some yogurt to counteract the heat. But the yogurt is 90% buffalo, as all the milk in India is really. Maybe more. And Padma Purana says that the products of the buffalo cannot be offered to Krishna. What will Krishna do with it? That's the question. Will he be compassionate and eat it? Look at it just to help us out? Or I don't know. Are we eating bhoga if we offer buffalo products? It's a good question. Is it prasad maninas? We think it's offered because we just put it in front of him. Or because it's because of Tulsi. All right, it's because of her. He may eat it because it's her, of her, not because of us. And not, definitely not because of the buffalo yogurt. If it's got any relation with Tulsi Rani, maybe then Krishna will accept it. Only because of her. What to do? I've told you this because the dravya is becoming useless. Useful for something, for cheating, for building strong bones and no brains. Yeah. That's what buffalo milk. Maiska dud pite, maiska buddhi angi. Right? All right. As a compromise, turn it into yogurt because the toxins are counteracted by the yogurt culture. We think. Who knows? Anything you get in this world, the dravya is worse and worse and worse day by day. Even the flowers that we offer the deities, which came from Dadar, right? Dadar Titi, like that, wherever the full market is, right? Good luck. Do we know what those ladies were doing before when they touched those flowers? Were they clean? What is the nature? That's why the pujaris, they offer everything with prokshana. They sprinkle water on it and chant mantra to try to counteract the contamination. Because in Kali Yuga, the dravya is always getting worse. It's not the dravya. It's the bhava. It's the mood. And Thakur Mahasai is the one that was working on that mood like any other acharya. So much so, the Rasika Acharya, the Gaudiya Rasika Acharya, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Mahasai, he underlined that Narottam Thakur Mahasai's bhajans are Veda Pramana. Just as good as the Vedas. That powerful. Even they are losing steam in Kali Yuga because of the lack of understanding raga, how to sing it properly, according to the mood of the acharyas. Like, for example, Lochan Das Thakur Mahasai's bhajans, Chaitanya Mangal. There, he says every single one of them should be sung in a specific raga. Do we know that raga? No. We're panning our hopes on Ananta Natai will teach us when he finishes his school, Guru Maharaj says. Oh, where would the raga, where would the rasa come from without the raga? One Vaishnava who comes from a Bangladesh Kirtaniya family, I showed him the bangla of Chaitanya Mangal. Do you know these raga? And he goes, Ari Baba, this is the first time I've seen the name of the raga. What to speak of how to sing the raga? And he's from a Kirtaniya family. What does that mean? This means better than some and worse than others. He sings better than some other boys, right? But he can't even come up to the mutra of his father or his grandfather who knew the ragas, and he doesn't. So just see how Kali Yuga has come. We can't even come up to the mutra of our father. We're always 99.9% of the kids never, ever come up to the mutra of their parents. Now, don't say that to any householder couple. We don't want to discourage them because they always got great hopes for their kid. Ask them that question 30 years later. One grihastha varya, God's sister, told me, when I reflect on my grihastha life, it was a waste of time. Pretty heavy. But she is heavy, you know, what can I say? She's blissful and heavy at the same time. Like any person who wants to be Krishna conscious. We have to go forward. And Thakur Mahasai and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur are two Rasika Acharyas that teach us probably more than any other Acharyas how to go forward. In spite of the Dravya. In spite of Kali Yuga. They teach us how to go forward. How to relish Bhagavatam. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Sarartha Varshini Tika. Teach us. Sarartha Darshini. Varshini is Gita. How to relish Gita, how to relish Bhagavatam. He shows us how to do. How to relish. All the Tika Acharyas have their sweet help in relishing Bhagavatam. And the other acharyas, and they seek for the other part, song. Because it is preaching. Thakur Mahasai's preaching was to capture everyone. Papi tapi jata chilo harinama udarilo. That was the idea, Lochan Das said, about Jagayan Madhai. But Prabhupada said that the Jagayan Madhai are in every corner. About in the connection of Ajamila Leela, 6th Canto, Chapter 2. 6th Canto, Chapter 1, about the description of Ajamila. Shudra embracing a Shudrani. And so Prabhupada said, in that time, it was Satyuga or whatever, there was very few Shudras and Shudranis. Everybody was following Vedic culture deeply. But now they're available in every street corner. Everywhere. Sarvagata. Spanned everywhere. So what to do? So Harinam Udarilo. The point is that Harinam is for everybody. Therefore, for preaching to the masses, we go out on the street and do Harinam. Bhaktivinod Thakur, he sung in his Gitavali early on, his compassion and Nagar Kirtan. Just consider it one time. That bhajan is so nice. It's very small and very short, but very nice. He says, just consider it one time. Wandering around this world, did you ever get any benefit with what you do? Who are you? Where have you come from? Where are you going at the time of death? Huh? All of your endeavors, of insignificant victory or defeat over other living entities, did you get anything? Therefore, Bhaktivinod says, just worship Lord Chaitanya and chant Radha Krishna's names in the sweet taste of their holy names. Just consider it one time. Ekabar bhavo mone. Really beautiful bhajan. But the whole idea was, before they sung kirtan on the street for the public, they spurred their ear a little bit, twisted their ear a little bit. That, just think about it. You're rushing here and there, working hard day and night for a headache. Are you getting anything out of your lifestyle? There must be another way of doing it. Simple living. There must be another way. That's what Harinam is meant for. How to pick up the patitas. Narottam Thakur Mahasai was interested in that. Just like today's shloka. Yasya ya lakshanang aproktam pungsam varna pyavanjitam chandrakam yad antya trapi drishita tat tanaiva vinir drishet. If one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, as described above, even if he's appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification, purported by Prabhupada. Herein, it's clearly stated by Narad Muni, one should not be accepted as Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, according to birth. For although this is going on now, it's not accepted by Shastras. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chaturvarnyam maya shashtam guna karma vibhagasaha. Thus the four divisions of society, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, are to be ascertained according to gunas, qualities, and activities, guna and karma. If one was born in a Brahmin family and has acquired the Brahminical qualifications, he is to be accepted as a Brahmin. I'm wondering if Guru Maharaj, when he wrote this, was thinking of such nice Brahmins like Sampat Kumar Bhattacharya, who I had the pleasure to meet. Because Prabhupada liked him, therefore we searched him out. I was wondering, I was going to Frasertown in Bangalore, this is 1980-81. Christian neighborhood, firmly Christian neighborhood of Bangalore. I would go all the way over there on my TVS 50 just to talk with him and get some nectar from him. He would teach us Brahma Samhita. He would teach us how to chant different stutis and stavas. Wonderful Vaishnava. Astounding. Prabhupada said he's one of the last Brahmins. Real Brahmins. Like that. And he was so magnanimous. And the reason why Prabhupada liked him also is that they had many similar lakshanas. Prabhupada mentioned about the fault of caste Brahmins was they did not endeavor hard to pick up the patita janas. You can hear it on the tapes. And now we have to lament that the malechas were not picked up by the Brahmins, and therefore they've split off and become Pakistan and Bangladesh. And Prabhupada said, and if we do not watch, even more will split off. That's why the Indian government has given, you know, some autonomy to Jharkhandis and Chhattisgarhis and, you know, like that, to try to stop them from breaking off. Although, who can say that what happens in the Northeast? But Prabhupada said it could be, more could happen. There's more than just simply external. We have to try to pick up the Patita Janas. But the problem with that, I'll tell you frankly, is this shloka. As you know, it's a fine definition. Narada Muni is very strict. He's mentioned it quite clear. Narada Muni does not mince words. You take somebody according to what they're doing. But what about the gray area? That's what's interesting about the shloka, is the gray area. What happens if we're a mix? Because in Ayurveda, as well as astrology, very rare do you find somebody that's really firmly Brahminical. Just like, I was just recently in Udupi, and one pundit looked at my Janma Kundali, and he was talking with Vigyan Goswami Maharaj. He goes, look, 8 points with Brahaspati. 8 points with Brahaspati, exceedingly rare. Yeah, Vigyan Goswami Maharaj says, exceedingly rare. But then they were just looking at the doshas there also, because the doshas have effect on the health. So they were looking at the doshas. Although they remarked about Brihaspati, but they also remarked about the doshas. So it made me start to think that, just say, every single one of us is a mixed blessing. Better than some, worse than others. Shall I tell you further? Prabhupada's godbrother, glorious as he is, he just finished his 96th Vyas Puja. And when I saw him recently, not too long back in Vrindavan, when he saw me, he said, oh, you came from Yamuna. You came from Yamuna. And I was starting to think that he's encouraging me that I should think of Yamuna and come from Yamuna. Or maybe he's hankering that he wants to go to Yamuna. As I was internally thinking, he's 96, nah, he's ready to leave. One foot's already in the samadhi, they say. Eager. So, by saying, oh, you came from Yamuna. You came from Yamuna. So I was thinking, is he desiring Yamuna Prapti to leave his world? Yamuna Prapti. Just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ganga Prapti means about Anupam, the brother of Rupa and Sanatan. It mentions, he attained the Ganga. That's Bengali etiquette for meaning he died. He left his body and attained the Ganga. Attaining the Ganga by snan every day, many Vaishnavas do in Mayapur. Do we really attain the Ganga? It's interesting. It meant that there must have been a hankering. If you want more about that, go deep. In the shlokas, Ananda Tirtha Krita, Gangastikam. I was in Mayapur in October last year, serving my godbrother who had terminal cancer, who attained the Ganga. And he was waiting to attain the Ganga. And I told him this shloka from Ananda Tirtha. He said, oh, Devi, when will I be on a Pushpa Vimana where wonderful Apsara girls will fan me with chamras? He said, and I look down on your waters and I see my body being pecked by dogs, pulled by crows, jackals, as your waters throw it here and there. Wow! You know, when you read that Sanskrit, you go, you know, wow. That's called Ganga Prapti. You throw the body, but you're so eager to attain the transcendental Ganga, at the transcendental Jamuna. Wow. Or Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Kalyan Kalpataru when he refers to, when this body becomes old, useless, unusable any longer, then it can be thrown to the river and I'll be free of the burden and able to go serve the divine couple in my form. Hankering to serve the divine couple as Kamala Manjari. Hankering. And hankering also, throw the trash in the Ganga. Throw the trash in the Jamuna. Just throw it. Yamuna Prapti. I saw with my own eyes one Bengali man and the bank of Jamuna waiting. He wants to attain the Yamuna, they told me. I saw him. He must have been 75, 80. Where is his relatives? Maybe he has none. Maybe he doesn't care. Prabhupada said, whatever you have in this family life is a list of names only. Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. He says in his bhajan, Vrindavan bhajan. So it's like that. I saw him with a hand fan, just keeping the flies away and waiting till he gave up. Then I, why don't you give him something? The pujari said, we offered him some milk. He doesn't want it. He wants Yamuna Prapti. Just see. Then 3 days later, I gave him Charanamrita from Krishna and Dauji. He happy was happy for that. Then after 3 days, 4 days, I didn't see him. Where did he go? He went to Sudam Kuti. My friend Ram Sevak Das is there. I know that place. Yeah, they put him on a rickshaw, took him to Sudam Kuti. Oh. So then I went to see Ram Sevak. Hey, where's that old Bengali Baba who came to for a Jamuna Prapti? He's just inside the balcony. Oh, and I went inside, I saw him, I gave him Charanamrita. Next day I came back, his hand fan was no longer moving. And the flies were attacking his eyes. Charanamrita. He opened his mouth. I gave him. He moved his head slightly. Thanks. Ram Sevak, how much longer? Few hours. What will you do with him? Jal Samadhi. Which is, we do it with everybody in our ashram. What is that? We tie a rock on him with a rope and we throw him in the Yamuna. And the turtles finish the rest. This is Jal Samadhi. Simple. Are you surprised? No. Dongri Maharaj did it in Gujarat. Yasamati Nandan told me. Into the Narmada. Done in Haridwar all the time. Very typical. Do they actually attain? In Ganga Sahasranam Stotra, it states that if you chant this names, thousand names of Ganga Devi, then you are always attaining her. She will always be positively favorable to you. You can die anywhere, and it is like as if you died on the bank of the Ganga. She will be there for you. You can go from your village and go anywhere for your nokri, for your economic development. You will come back successful by the grace of Ganga Devi. This is what the Phalashruta says. So this is actually what Ganga Prapti meant. It is not only just external giving up the body with the bhava, which they cultivated in their life before they gave up. So when I heard Prabhupada's godbrother say that, oh, you came from Yamuna, you came from Yamuna, how much he must be hankering for her now. But he told me something more. So I tell you more. This is what's nice about the old Vaishnavas, three generations before us. Two generations before me, three generations before you, is that they have a whole different perspective than us that was less distracted by Maya than us. And what is their opinion about this? I asked him straight. When it happened once, he had a Telugu boy in his ashram. Small kid, must have been 8. This is in 1987. I came to see, I was doing Vrindavan Prakrama All right, go offer obeisances to Prabhupada's godbrother. He's here now. So I passed by, offered him dandavats. Some kid did something. Maharaj is a firecracker. That's his nature. Tit! He stepped on the boy like that. What are you doing, you fool? Said something. And, you know, the boy, I could see it by his face. You know, the boy, you know, really was like shocked by that. And he offered obeisances. He listened to what Guru Maharaj had to say. And he shook his head and he went off. And then Maharaj turns to me and I see a tear trickle down his face in sadness. And I saw that he's sad. So I said, Maharaj, can I do something for your sadness? What can you do? He said to me, when I was a young boy, he's like going back in time. When I was a young boy in 1935, he was an Ayurvedic doctor. We all came to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's feet, he said. All young boys, college educated, full of vitality, ready to die for our Gurudev in the preaching fire. Where are those men? Where are those men? Whether it's your institution or our institution, all we're getting is a bunch of bums. This is exactly what he said to me. It was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And his tears were not pacifiable by me. The tears rolling down his face were tears of lamentation that I could not do anything about. It was beyond. As my godbrother Chaturatma, who saved my life in 1980 by his shiksha, he said, it's beyond my pay scale. They say in America, beyond my pay scale. You see this? Then he told me further, Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, wanted to encourage Daivi Varnashram that take the patitas and make them into Brahmins by shiksha. This glorifies, is there in Bhagavatam. We cannot change the process because of Kali Yuga. Brahmaji says, second canto, chapter 7, verse 46. I quoted a lot. I was impressed by different words there. Tevai, they indeed, vidanti, they know, atitaranti, and they cross. Cha, along with their paraphernalia, their associates, Devi Maya, the Supreme Lord's illusory energy. Who? Wow, that's pretty. And the first pada, the first half of pada is enough. Wow, that's interesting. Te vai badanta titaranti cha deva maya. Who is that? Wow. You know, it's immediately, it makes you attracted. Stri, women. Shudras, workers. Huns, Germans. Shabaras, Russians. Abhipapa, jiva. And any other sinful persons. Yad adubhuta krama parayana. If they take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God, and it was adubhuta krama, performs a wonderful activities. Or adubhuta krama is also the bhaktas who work hard for Krishna. But if you ask them, they say, "Hat, that's nothing. My hard work is nothing compared to my grandfather, grandmother. Nothing. Just look in each parampara, each acharya. When we hear their gunas, like Narottam Thakur Mahasaya's gunas are described in Narottam Vilas. How wonderful they were. That, or if you, another way of understanding days like today is the shoka. They're called Suchak bhajans, written by their disciples in Viraha, lamenting about Guru Maharaj. We have Gopal Bhatta Suchaka. The six Goswamis, they have all Suchakas, bhajans written about them. And the devotees sing those bhajans on their appearance and disappearance days because their disciples wrote it with great attachment about how wonderful they are, what they accomplished. But each one of them, a motivation for their hard work was their superior, Jiva. For example, Jiva Goswami, nobody could, in terms of writing, in terms of scholarship, nobody could compare. But who was his inspiration? His inspiration was Rupa and Sanatan. He served Rupa Goswami Prabhupada with his own hands. Not just kabhi kabhi, daily. Just daily, he was serving Rupa Goswami by doing madhukari, by cooking for him, by massaging him, by editing his works. He did so much. When you hear Dinabandhu talk in Terekadamba about how Jiva Goswami and Rupa lived out in Terekadamba, and you look at the place where they lived, you think, wow, look at that. Tough, you know, tough accommodation. And they would beg, you know, just some atta, you know, from the farmers. And make bati with, you know, like that. And live in Terekadamba. How Jiva Goswami used to live like that. But that was not the substance of Jiva. The substance of Jiva was Rupa Goswami's kavitas, his poetry, which was so ecstatic. Jiva Goswami describes in the Mangalacharan of Stavamala that it was just like Brahaspati in knowledge and just like different sweet personalities in poetry. So ecstatic, so exquisite. That was the food that Jiva was taking in. And he says, you must understand that it was accumulated very painstakingly, Jiva says. You know what that painstakingly means? I was asking different pundits about that. Suppose Rupa Goswami will walk on Govardhan Hill and compose an astakam in Sanskrit. And if in his ecstasy he composes a second one, then Jiva has to memorize both. Kantasta, before he comes back to the ashram when he could put it down and show it to Guru Maharaj and make sure that it's edited right. Because it's fresh in Rupa Goswami's mind, and Jiva would write it down, show it, Guru Maharaj, this is all right. And then they would correct it according to the Sandhi, according to Samas, you know, it would correct it, you know, edited together. Can you imagine Jiva's loba that he, that if Rupa Goswami spoke something, Jiva was like, whoo! His ears were like, too, you know, and he would catch it. And if he speaks twice, then he has to catch that also. Therefore, let me continue the shloka from Brahmaji. I've stopped because this is explaining. This is an explanation of the shloka of Brahmaji. Te vai bananti tatananti cha deva maya Sri Sudruhuna Shabara Abhipapa Jiva Yada Adhubhuta Krama Parayana. If they associate with somebody who's Adhubhuta Krama, who performs amazing activities, Shila Shiktas, and you learn what is behavior. That is the most important two words in the entire shloka. Shila Shiktas. What is learning what is behavior? Because behavior, achar, is actually the crux here. Achar, vichar, and prachar. This is the achar, is the crux. Whether somebody will actually become brahminical or not. It's according to abhyasanam of achar. Achara, abhyasanam. This is the criteria. Now, Narada Muni has said it in the Bhagavatam, that this is the differentiation. And another tikka, another nice tikka on this one is this Niti Shastra. The shloka comes to mind wherein Chanakya says, if someone's mind and senses are controlled, their reputation follows them like your shadow. If their mind and senses are not controlled, your reputation follows you like your shadow. So, it's like an interesting comment here. Shila Shiktas. If you learn Shila Shiktas, then you can be Brahmin. Or you can be Kshatri. Just like Mahabharata Shila Shiktas, that Karna, He was Kshatriya by Kunti and Surja. Surja, Dave directly, the lord of the Kshatriya dynasty, directly. And Kunti, in her maiden state, Surja was so pleased by her gunas, qualities, and her beauty, aside from her beauty, to give her a child? Durvasa's Muni's benediction cannot be false, Surya said. I will give you a child and I will maintain your virginity. The child came from her ear. It was known as Karna. Astounding. It was also because he had these kundalas and kavachas, natural armor. Kundalas, earrings. He gave it in charity to Indra. And Indra gave him that Shakti weapon, which he was keeping for his fight with Arjuna later, but he gave it, he used it for Ghatotkach in the war. Kavacha and Kundalas, Karna himself gave in charity those kundalas, his earrings, and his kavacha, his armor. Astounding. These people were Kshatriyas, astounding level of Kshatriya qualities. Yet it wasn't simply that they were born Kshatriyas, they had to prove it. They proved it in their vidya, and they proved it on the battlefield. They proved it. They were not simply in name only, they proved it by word and in deed. And their heroic prowess, their reputation was more important than their external. That's where Krishna says that the public will consider you in the first chapter of Gita, that the public, if you give up this war, the public will consider you to be a coward. What could be more painful for you? Better that you die in the battlefield than to lose your reputation. He says, if you die in the battlefield, you attain the heavenly planets and your reputation is intact. That was what Krishna's advice to Arjuna was. It is better. So that was the way Kshatriyas are. But however, they were so much interested in their reputation. However, Bhumi Devi, heavy. In the 12th canto, chapter 2, she says that all these great kings tried to subjugate me, fighting over each other over insignificant land. They all died and the land is still here. They were never able to subjugate me. And they've been reduced to nothing more but mere historical incidences. No matter how great your reputation is, it is simply an historical incident. And the problem is, in Kali Yuga, we all have a very, very short fuse and a very, very short memory. Even our superiors have a very short memory. What to speak of the juniors? What will be our legacy? It's like one great soul who I personally had association with gave up his body in Vrindavan. And they put him in Samadhi. I'm the one who got the good fortune of washing his body and helped him put him in his Samadhi. But afterwards, 2 years afterwards, they won't even give a half of a day to come for his Samadhi ceremony to talk about his good contribution for 21 years for the BBT. And you want the younger generation to take it up if we're not going to hold that reputation. They cannot even give a half of a day, one day a year, to talk about the gunas and qualities of that Vaishnava. This is why I really was impressed with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's description of Jal Samadhi and Ananda Tirtha's in his Gangastikam about Jal Samadhi. What does it mean? It's glorious. And it's also glorious because People are so ungrateful. They will just not. We become. They not only they will give you short shrift in your samadhi, but after one generation, who knows? Who knows? Who cares? Just like the so-called Kshatriyas in our, they give such great reverence to the fathers of the nation, right? For example. But who knows it? It's just MG Road now. Nobody knows it. Who in the hell is MG? Ask any kid, is MG really, you know, a big significant effect in your life? Not much. Does he help you pass your exam? No. Does he fill your belly? Not much. Not significant for the younger generation. We're talking 60 years ago. If that person's philosophy was not applied by you in your life, didn't do anything, didn't affect your life. Now, let's go back to that. So if every living entity here in this room will be reduced to a historical incident, and if every Vaishnava in the past are historical incidents, look, what to speak of my this devotee samadhi, who is dear to me. What to speak, you go and brush, Shamananda samadhi is there. Kashisvara samadhi is there. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan, their full body samadhis are there. Who pays attention to them? Do we have time? Maybe. On their appearance and disappearance day, maybe we'll go. They're there. They've been, Manini Maharaj described sighting sometimes. How some people doing bhajan at night, chanting Hare Krishna, would see the apparition of some Baba coming out of his samadhi, of Sanatana samadhi, talking a little bit and then going back in. They're there. They're there. Do we pay attention to them? It's the if the Shila Shiktas, the word Shila Shiktas in that Shloka Brahma is very interesting. That Shila behavior is done by Shiksha. And if the Shiksha did not touch you, then Samadav Navadiyate, it just didn't happen. It's unfortunate. But that's the whole power. The power is in the Shila Shiktas. So Narottam Thakur Mahasai, although the public may not like those bhajans, how long would they go on for? Narottam Thakur Mahasai's contribution. Maybe one more generation? Maybe not. It depends. Afterwards, you'll be lucky if we can find the bungalow of his bhajans in with one or two generations. Because the common Bengali don't sing bhajans anymore. They don't have time for it. They're busy working hard day and night for a headache. Deshi wale videshi ban gaya with a deshi masala saath. That's what's happened. And therefore the culture is gone. No one wants to sing bhajans. Why do you have people that are 70 plus coming to play mridanga with Ananta Natai? Why? They don't have anybody that's age 50 or age 40 to be with in Bengal. To find somebody who's genuinely interested in music, very rare. Very rare. Very rare. But Narottam Thakur Mahasai's Shiksha is powerful, but they use a medium called raga. This is the just like in Ayurveda, if you want the medicine to enter, you use cow urine, you use ghee, you use water, you use milk, you use honey. These are mediums by which the medicine can be injected into the body. In the same way, Karna Amritam. Amrita, nectar that will go into the ears, should be injected by the raga. The bhava was raised by the raga. The raga is subtle. It is subtle sound vibration. This is Narottam Thakur Mahasaya's contribution. Just like in the Aravade also, they brought some devotees from Manipur and they were doing some presentation for their pleasure of their lordships, Radha Gopal. And they danced and they sung and they twirled with their mridangas. But as I was meditating on it, I was thinking, Narottam Mahasaya was all synchronized. The kartal, the drum, the singing was synchronized. This was Narottam Thakur Mahasaya's thing. It was all together. And it was according to a particular raga. And oh, then the sound goes into the heart. That medicine, Mano Shaharshayi, steals the mind, goes into the heart in an unforgettable way. That's the point. You must never forget it. The medicine goes in the heart and you cannot pull it out of the mind. Aranakoriyo Maneyash, he says. The mind doesn't want, because nothing is better. It destroys the distraction of Kali Yuga. That's the point. By the raga, the shiksha goes right in the heart. And then it captures it, the heart, and packages Krishna and Gauranga in such a way that, oh, you are captured. Not just kabhi kabhi, permanent. And the idea is so powerful that it cuts through the maya that you'll find yourself humming it, the same bhajan again and again, days and days. This is real food. You just chew it for days. For days. If somebody gives you a good question, days you'll chew it. If somebody gives you a good answer, days you can chew it. That's real food. That's real food. Now, this shloka is so deep. This is what actually Srila Shikta does, is what makes a Brahmin. Yet, we see their standards were very high. Like Ekadasi Vrata, Jiva Goswami describes it quite clearly, Bhakti Sandarbha 299 and 300. You see the detail in it, just in the Sanskrit. But you also see their standards. 2 days, 2 nights, no food, no sleep. That, wow, it's astounding. Then in Anuchet 300, he says, they can't do that. Not a very substantial devotee. That's really the mind blower. Anuchet 300 is really blows your mind. How was their standard 450 years ago of what was considered brahminical? Their minimum standard. We can't even rise to their minimum standard. We're such jokers. See what my point is? We cannot even come up to the mutra of our father. What do you think we're going to do? Can we properly glorify our previous acharya? 12 generations before that? Good luck. Good luck. We can only... Did they want to stop preaching because of that? No. Their bhajans is there. They wrote the bhajan for the Lord. They wrote the bhajans for purification. They wrote it for the posterity. They wrote it for purification. They wrote it as a service. But there's so much gone. Because the Mughals killed so many sadhus. They broke so many temples. They burned so many manuscripts. One person told me, Grant Road Gaudiya Math Pandit Bhakti Vigyan Bharati, I think his name is, told me in 1999, the Kashi Mahatmya says that they were, the fires that the Mughals caused were burning libraries. 3 years those fires burnt in Kashi, burning libraries. 3 years. This is what the Kashi Mahatmya says. Is there any wonder he told me that there's not enough about the coward boys, about Krishna and Dauji? You're lucky this is left, he said. On that basis of that Kashi Mahatmya, you're lucky this is left. If you find anything about your lords, you're lucky that's left. Out of their great mercy, they gave that to you. It's not gone after 450 years. So, just say, Jiva Goswami, just like, can we do it? Maybe not. But it's powerful Sanskrit. That's the point. It gives you a little eyewitness through their writing what their standards were. How high. What is really a Brahmin? Do we have any right to be proudful of our Brahmin thread that our Guru Maharaj gave us? No. Everything is better than some and worse than others. Hari Sari was telling stories about it when Prabhupada was with him. He would do something. What are you doing, you Malecha? Prabhupada said to him. Wash your hand. You can't touch that. After you touch that eating glass, you can't. You have to put that glass down, wash your hand. You can't. You can't touch Krishna's thing with that. It's like that. It's externally, there's so many brahminical things. So what is it? I already said it before to you, all of you. Brahmanatvam, Bhaktatvam, and Sannyasatvam. You never attain it. You never attain it. Because whatever you are, it's better than some and worse than others, and you can always improve it. It says here, let's continue the purport. If one was born a Brahmin family, he has acquired the brahminical qualification and be accepted as a Brahmin. Otherwise, he should be considered a Brahma Bandhu. When Guru Maharaj says this in his purport, are we Brahma Bandhus? Yup. Compared to somebody else? Yup. When you consider Jiva Goswami's quality for Ekadasi 450 years ago, naturally, we're Brahma Bandhus. Naturally. If we can't come up to that, when we have to accept other standards. Was that acceptable by Bhakti Siddhanta? Yes. There's descriptions about it. That, like, for example, Anukalpa, somebody was preaching, and other devotees wanted to do nirjal, and they were not preaching. And one devotee wanted to go out for preaching. Prabhupada's godbrother, who has now left this planet in 1979. And he was a brahmachari then. And Bhakti Siddhanta said, he's going preaching. Immediately he must have meals. He should eat something on Ekadasi. Let him have it and go preach. Prepare it. Give it to him. Let him go preach. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted Anukalpa for preaching. The criteria is of Anukalpa is preaching. Will it be useful for your preaching? Then you can accept it. Otherwise, tapasya was good. According to your swasya, according to your health, nirjal was good. If your swasya could do it. Then the next thing after is more than dravya. Or what is food? Rama's name, Krishna's names are food, and Bhagavatam is the rejuvenator. Yes, this is really Ekadasi. So, we have to answer, aside from your body, can you do it? Can you actually make the holy names your food? Or are we affected by rasasvada, distraction? I know I'm constantly distracted. What is the really taste of the holy name? We have to ask each other. So, Guru Maharaj is giving us mercy by giving us brahminical initiation. But we should never take it lightly. We should always understand we must improve it. Because ultimately, Bahir Jati Viragaya Shanta Chittaya Diyatam Nirmat Saraya Suchaye Yasyaham Priya Sapriya. Because of the word Suchaye, because of the words Bahir Jati Viragaya, and because of Yasyaham Priya Sapriya, In that shloka, third canto, chapter 32, verse 42, I understood immediately that verse is about Brahminical life because of all these different words in this Sanskrit. Suchaye, clean. Yasyaham prayasa priya, the supreme personality of God, it is the most dear. Bahir jati viragaya, completely detached from anything external. This is Brahminical. This is Brahminical. And the amazing thing of it is the external and the internal, they overlap. That is really Brahminical. When the mind is so absorbed that it flows over to the external, that's when you really see somebody as Brahminical. When the internal flows into the external, yes, that is the idea, because achar, your external activities, is powered by vichar, what you're thinking about. And then it comes out as prachar, out of the mouth. So whatever somebody says in the mouth, from their mouth, if they're really absorbed in the Supreme Lord, that's what will become on their mouth. And so much so that the external ultimately does not become important. That is, when you see that with your own eyes, then you will start to get a drop of what is Brahminical life. Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. Go beyond cleanliness. Go beyond the 10 qualities of a Brahmin that Prahlad Maharaj is referring to in 7th canto. Go beyond. Tada, as it says, evam prasanna manasa, when the mind is happy, bhagavad bhakti yogataha, engage in the service in union with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotional service. Bhagavad tattva vijnanam, you obtain realization about the truth of Bhagavan, mukta sangasya jayate, and you go victoriously on the path of liberation. That is real Brahminical life. So Prabhupada said the main aspect of the Brahmins should been to pick up the patitas. Therefore, our program here, as in any ISKCON center, we've got Harinam, right? You've got some devotees distributing some books somehow on the trains, wherever. Here, right? Prasadam. We have the restaurant, this, that. Everything has to be increased because these three things make devotees. Harinam, Sangirtan, book distribution, prasadam distribution. What are you going to do when you get them? Well, we have to love them. Devamrita Maharaj mentioned that we should preach to the public, make them devotees so that we can serve them. We'll be happy to serve them. That's what he was saying, I heard, in New Zealand. What are you going to do when you get them? We're going to purify them by engaging them in Krishna service. How? According to their swadharma, according to their nature. Swadharmaka, swakarmika, and bhava samshuddhi, purify the bhava, purify the mood. Tapamana sujate. That's what we're going to do. Are they going to be so great? Well, Jai Radhagopinath, Jai Gornatai, Jai Nachi Bhagawan. Better than everybody of us here in this room, me too, better than some, worse than others. Are we really Brahminical? Nope. Better than some, worse than others. Huh. If you take me by the definition of what is a Brahma Bandhu, and you think about our acharyas, we'll probably fit in that category. If Jiva Goswami says in Anuchet 300, if they can't do that, they're not a very substantial devotee. Devotee. What to speak of? Devotee. Bhaktatvam. Then again, am I really a devotee? Bhaktatvam. Think again. According to whose definition? If you think it according to Jiva Goswami's definition, probably we're a joker. At the same time, the name is so powerful, the holy name is so powerful, so many sins can be wiped out by the holy name. We should definitely serve Gauranga by chanting. One of the last things that the last thing I got from Bhakta Tirtha Maharaj was when I was asking him about this balance. When you're unbalanced and you try to strive for balance, you're inquiring about balance. So I was inquiring at his lotus feet about that. My sannyas guru said, you can go if you have a relationship. But hearing builds a relationship. So that's what I went for. Yeah, I'll get something and I'll bring it back to Ukraine, I said. I promised him, I will learn something and I will bring it back for the Ukrainian devotees. That's what I learned. So when he was talking to me, after it was intimate with me and five other sannyasis, and I was asking him about this balance, he was so humble. He said, you're looking at one of the most unbalanced of all of them. And then it was like, he was saying just what I needed to hear to perk my ears. Wow. He's getting right down to the core, what I want. What's he going to say? He got me. The lead is the most important thing. Whatever you say in the beginning, better grab them, or else you lost them. You know, that's the nature. Then how is it in your own personal thing, Maharaj, that you said you were unbalanced? Look, I thought I would cheat the travel agent by getting more stops in my round-the-world ticket, but I was simply cheating my body. Wow. But as soon as he said that to me, I thought, wow, health is important for all devotees, preachers, etc. Huh. Tell me more. Yeah, I was in West Africa. I would jump on the plane, go to America. And before your body gets used to the new time zone, I'm already in Australia. Talk about bewilderment. Yeah, tell me about it. That's what I want to hear, I said. Where's the justice? You may never get it right, but then where's the justice? Where's the justice? The justice is this, he said to me. You try to make an impact on the heart of whoever you meet. You by your shiksha, you try to make an impact, tangible impact on the hearts of everyone you meet. Then, in spite of you, he said, in spite of all the problems, Gauranga and Krishna will cover the bases. And as soon as he said that to me, I thought, wow. This is exactly what I came all the way from Ukraine to get. I just wanted that nectar from Maharaj, that concentrated sara, the cream, that vijnana, his vijnana. That's exactly what I came here for, to hear from them something that will permanently stay in my heart. He left less than a month later, but astounding. Vaishnavas are still here in sound. They never leave. That's astounding. Bhaktatvam. We're only as much as a bhakta as much as we take a kiran from their shiksha of these sadhus. Ha! Stupid. Aravade? Man, I was there. Some householder brought his daughter to me. Here, Maharaj, sign my stupid book. You know, stupid signature. I said, what are you, a Russian? I said, my dear little girl, I asked her in Hindi, are you a Russian? And I laughed at her. What do you think you're getting out of this stupid signature? Well, I want it anyway. What do you get out of it? This is useless. I've never found any Sanskrit pramanam, the validity of a signature. What is a sadhu? I quoted from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I said, a sadhu is here in sound. It's the sound that you get sadhus. Shabda. And you take a kiran. You take anything from them and you apply it. That is their signature. Their shiksha is their signature. That is their signature, their shiksha. If you apply that concretely in your life, Lali, then you got that sadhu. You take something from me and you do it. And when you do it in your life, that is the permanent signature. Raghunath Das Goswami's vrittas, Krishnadas Kaviraj said, they were like the lines on a stela. that you cannot, like a lion and a shalaram shila done by the bringi worm, you could not crush his vrata. It was sudridha. Kaviraj Goswami glorified Raghunath, and he saw with his own eyes Raghunath's sadhana. He's writing that shloka in Chaitanya Charitamrita out of his vijnana. He saw with his own eyes. That is real signature. What you see with your own eyes and experience, that is really what makes you a devotee. So all of you in this room, no matter what your prarabdha karma was, whatever you were doing, you know, before you became a devotee, we are made of the mercy of our devotees, your shiksha gurus, your diksha guru, what you saw with your own eyes. This is called Krishnanandaya Dhimahi. You should meditate on the ecstasy of the spiritual master. And Bange Gurun, your shiksha gurus, you want to see something tangible with your own eyes that you will never forget for the rest of your life. That is amrit. That is food. That is something. Like I was saying all along about like ragas of Narottam. If we could get the raga, if we could get the synchronization, if we could, then if these were all things, things will transport, and maybe we will offer it to the deities. And oh, and if they're pleased with us, we'll never forget that bhajan for the rest of our life. We'll never forget that shloka of Bhagavatam for the rest of our life, because it was Shila Shikdas. It was, it changed our heart. That's what devotional life is. The change of heart. The second canto, chapter 1, is entitled Krishna Consciousness, the Change of Heart. Tangible change. That's what Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was saying. Shiksha, that changes tangibly the heart of whoever you meet. Then Gauranga will help you cover the bases. This is, you're doing what is Gauranga's work. If you do Gauranga's work, then you can expect Gauranga's mercy. Even if we're so fallen, 14, 15, 16 generations away from Gauranga, he is Patita Pavan. He'll be so kind. Radharani has come in the form of Gauranga, and her sweet compassion is covered, has amazed Krishna so much that Krishna has imbued her compassion in the form of Gauranga. How compassionate. So, and we can expect the next generation also, if we do it. We try to keep this generation's qualities, but the reality is that we're only going to keep it as much as we eat ourselves. That's the problem. You know, you learned something from your father. You know, suppose we're apprentices, we learned some nokri, you know, like how to be a... Previously, it was the guna, karma, and these... Svakarmika and Svabhavika were both intrinsic together. Person was actually a blacksmith, and he learned from his father how to do it, and they learned how to do it with really good quality. So they were naturally blacksmiths, natural farmers, natural. And Brahmins could do Vaishya work, but it also must meant that they were naturally gardeners. But they did it in a very brahminical way. There was gardening in a very brahminical way, according to Shastra. Like that. So it's we're honing our Svakarmika and our Svadharmika based on Shastra. Then it's great. The Kshatriya is great. You're convinced you have Shastra behind you, behind your work as a Kshatriya, behind your work as administrator, behind your work as a Vaishya, behind your work as a Shudra. You've got Shastra. And then you analyze your own heart and you see, this is where I am at. Intrinsically, I am this. And I will offer it to Krishna and become happy by Gurudev. I will offer it to Gurudev, through Gurudev to Krishna, and become happy. I'm a happy Shudra. I'm a happy Vaishya. I'm a happy Kshatriya. And I'll be happy if I offer it to Krishna. Shivaram Maharaj puts it this way, that Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, they're never satisfied. They always want to expand more and offer it to Krishna. Think of it, chew it. It's true. Brahmins want more and more Brahminical life. Kshatriyas want more and more management, learn it, delegate it, get some more. Vaishyas, start a business, make it multinational. Isn't it? It's like they're never satisfied, want more. But offer it to Krishna, then it's successful. Then we can leave this world successful. Will our children be able to do it? As much as they understand. And whatever's not understand, bhul jao. And that's the problem. We have no record how these Brahmins live their life, because with each generation it gets worse and worse and worse, and less is left over for the next generation. No record. No record how they lived 450 years ago. No record. Precious little. How are we supposed to do it? What they said to do when we don't know how they lived. It's like reinventing the wheel all over again. So now the next thing I was asking about was the gray area. The gray area. All of us, we have a couple of Brahminical qualities and a lot of Shudra qualities. Right? Well, we have a Kshatriya quality in one way, in a Shudra way. It's Kshatriya with a Shudra way. Right? Well, we have what are we really Brahminical about? What are we really? Do we really have a taste for the holy name like Narottam Thakur Mahasaya? Or is our chanting like a Natak drama? Really? I mean, there's so many ways we could look in the mirror and point to the finger of it. Yet still, that doesn't mean that we have to continue to chant Hare Krishna. We have to continue to preach. We're going to make people from any walks of life and bring them to the lotus feet of Gurudev and lotus feet of the deities. We have to try, continue to try. But it doesn't mean it's pleasing. He told me this personally. When I think of what Guru Maharaj talk about Daivi Varnashram Dharma, and I look at some people and I think, it's like washing coal. How are we going to make it white? It will never become white. He was telling me, I look at some people and I see, can we make them devotees? Can we make them Brahmins? We start to feel skeptical, he said to me. Will they ever become? We really wonder. It's like washing coal. Will it ever become clean? When he said that to me personally, it was like, wow. You know, now he's 96. But it's something. When these people tell you that, you really start to understand how fallen Kali Yuga really is. Therefore, the holy name has to be on the tongue. We're all a joker. Are we really pleasing Krishna or harassing him? Prabhupada said that. Oh my Lord, I've asked you to come in the land of the Malechas. And I ask you, please give them intelligence so that you may not be inconvenienced. I inconvenience my deities all the time. I know that. They know it more than me. But however, then why? I was asking them sometimes, why? Why do you do it? If we inconvenience you so many ways. The realization I got is because they want to accept the love of all of you. They like that. So other people that come and love them, they like that. That's what they're there for. To steal your heart and steal theirs too. Yeah. And because if you facilitate them stealing other person's hearts, then they'll tolerate yours. That was my realization. That's what they're there for. They tolerate you because of them. Yeah. Yes. Are we really pleasing Krishna or harassing Krishna? Well, look deeper again. Therefore, this verse is very deep. It doesn't stop us from preaching and turning people into Brahmins. But we should follow what Prabhupada's criteria was. Bhakti Shastri. Brahminical nature. One devotee asked me, hey, my Guru Maharaj is going to give me second initiation. And I looked at him and I said, do you need it? I didn't think he really needed it. I think he got it anyway, but I wasn't convinced. Do you really need it? I have some godbrothers that didn't. I'm not Brahminical. I don't need second initiation, his godbrother told me. He never got it from Prabhupada. He says, I'm not Brahminical. I can be a devotee. I'll stay with the devotees. But I don't need to do arati. I don't need to do anything Brahminical because I'm not Brahminical. He said that very clear. And I'm still friends with him. I still relate to him. Why? Well, evidently some Shudra things are very attractive. But there's an attractive devotees who do it in a very attractive way. They're Shudras in a very attractive way. And that way we can say, well, all right, he or she is a Shudra or a Vaishya, but he's ours. We're grateful to be allowed that they belong to us. They're our Shudra. They're our Vaishya. They're our Kshatriya. They're our Brahmin. They're our Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha. They're ours. And naturally, the way they do it is probably a joke compared to what their grandmother did it. But anyway, you know, what can we do? Chant the holy name. Pass it to the next generation. And where are we going to pass it to the next generation? To what we got? And whatever we got is probably, you know, much less. It's powerful. The whole sampradaya is powerful, isn't it? Come on. The current of electricity is going down from Krishna through Brahma down there. It's a fact. How much we take it, that's the other thing. It's depending on dependency. If we chant with dependency, we've got it. If we worship the Lord with dependency, then they reciprocate. Why don't they do it every day? Our dependency is not much. Why? Maya's got us by the mind. Therefore, the acharyas were so compassionate. Narottam Thakur Mahasaya was so compassionate. Sing it with the raga. Sing it with mood. So that Thakur Mahasaya, Narottam Das, will continue to steal your heart even now. Even now. 450 years ago. The Paramahansas, what they say is powerful because Krishna makes it powerful. That's Vishwanath's statement. Kunteya pradijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Vishwanath says, why is Krishna saying that you declare it? Because everyone knows he's a Vrajavasi, he's a liar. Vishwanath says, Krishna's a liar, he's a Vrajavasi, he's a liar. All Vrajavasis lie. So Krishna tells Arjuna, you declare it, because Arjuna will have, if Arjuna says it, then Krishna has to make it true. So if we preach with dependency, then Krishna may make our words true. In spite of us. In spite of us. This verse is very deep. We cannot change Bhagavatam. It's a discriminative thing. We can have to remain beggars. The reality is, my understanding, the very last thing I have to say is that it is a question of begging. This is why Narottam's Prarthana is most amazing. And Bhaktivinoda notes, Prarthana Lasmai, Prarthana Dainyamai, and Kalyan Kalpaturu are some of the most amazing bhajans he's written. Because the bhajans that they write when they beg, or the slogans that Rupa Goswami and other acharyas write when they beg, those are the most amazing, piercing, heart-piercing verses, heart-piercing things when they beg. Because why is it so important for us? Because if we beg like they did, take a kiran of that and try to beg, maybe they will be compassionate to pick us up. All right, you know, he is like that, she is like that. Let me bring them to Krishna anyway. That's what we're all here for. We're hanging on to our Gurudev's dhoti with the idea that in spite of us, Gurudev will take us to Krishna. Will take us to Krishna somehow. And Krishna and Gauranga are so compassionate, fueled by Radharani and fueled by Nityananda and this compassion, that maybe in spite of us we'll get mercy. That it doesn't mean, it's like the diploma, right? The university diploma. We cannot think that we're going to get that diploma, you know, like a gratis, you know, a free PhD degree from Bombay University, you know, yeah, sure, you know. But at the same time, begging must go on. All of the brahmacharis and all of the householders here, if you continue to beg like Narottam Thakur Mahasaya has done, or Rupa Goswami, if we continue to beg, then maybe by their mercy we may go. Now, do we have any proof? Change of heart. That's one proof. When the heart really changes permanently, then we start to think that that's the proof of the power of these acharyas. The other proof is a little bit uppercut. It's a little more uppercut. I was telling you, when the external bhajan becomes internal, when the two worlds mix, that's real ruchi. The taste of ruchi, when the two worlds mix, and then it becomes even more mixed at ashakti. Just like Nityananda Prabhu was walking and incoherently, and that one sentence didn't join with the other. This is ashakti, the platform of ashakti. They don't care what happens in the external world. They had to, Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj had to send Jyoti Shekhar and other devotees to go serve Bhangsi Das because he was not external. He could care less. Who will put up his tent for him? Who will do Madhukari for him? Who will cook for him? He was cooking for himself. They didn't need that, at least for putting up his tent and taking care of him. Because he was not externally aware. That is really... Gauranga said the same thing in Madhya Leela, chapter 15, that a real criteria of a devotee is that they're not even externally aware. That is the pinnacle of brahminical life. When they're not even externally aware. That is the pinnacle. I was quoting that verse, that Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana Mukta Sangasya Jayate. But there's one more verse which I have to give you before I go because it's really important. I have to give this to you, then I'll quit. I promise you, I'll quit. This is Mukunda Datta gave this to me. And maybe he isn't giving me more because whatever he's given me is enough to keep me going. Esha prahai eshu sa eshu manye, kshanopi ganya purushaya sheshu, asvadyate yatra kayapi vritya nilasya balasya nijam charitram. This is from the 3rd century of Lovamangala Stava. 3rd century, I think it's chapter 2. I have to dig up the verse number. Then the great current, I think it's 33. I think it's 3, 2, 33. And the great current that is the human form of life, the essence that is to be obtained is when precisely that very moment when a boy of bluish complexion is understandable by intuition. Wow! Just chew that verse. Wow. When we'll actually, it's more than just spurti. You actually know what Krishna and Radha is doing. You actually know what Krishna and Dauji are doing. When you actually know the inconceivable activities of a boy of blue complexion is understood by intuition. You intuitively know what they're doing. That's more, that goes... That verse goes to the core of what Astakali Alila Smaran is all about. This is actually the fruit of real brahminical life. That you go beyond the mode of goodness to Vishuddha Sattva. Then the spiritual master becomes pleased. When Gauranga asks Ishwara Puri about the holy name, I become mad. Ah, my dear child, great. Ishwara Puri said, great, you just go on chanting. You become more mad like that. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Sachi Mati goes, my boy has become mad. Oh, my boy has become mad. And Srivas Thakur said, yeah, we would like some of his madness. It's very good. My dear mother, you don't have to worry about your boy, Nimai. Then she felt pacified. Hare Krishna. This sloka is very deep. There's so many ways you can look at it. Naribo. Narottam Thakur Mahasai is also very deep. We couldn't do any justice to him either. Naribo. All right.